Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about 8 ways to engage your neighbors. This time.
Ooh. Let's go.
Yeah, this is a fun one. I think I say that every time. This is going to be a fun episode.
Because it is.
I mean, they're all really fun. They're all so practical. This one's really practical. And just coming up with this list of these 8 things we got to hear of ways that each other have done these things. So we didn't just like come up with them like, hey, someone should go do these things. Like we've actually done a lot of these and I have not done some of these. So I want to look at ones that Brock is doing. I don't know about Thomas. I don't know if I trust your ways.
I don't do anything.
But I need
I've got personal experience with Thomas doing this just last week. One of them. I won't spoil it. But.
So proof. We have a witness.
Well, where do you want to start? Let's jump in.
Should we start with that one? The first one on the list here?
Yeah.
So inviting your neighbors over to help with some house projects or offering to help them do some house projects.
Maybe even before we dive into the list, should we talk for a minute about
why we're doing this?
Why would engaging your neighbor even make sense?
Yep.
Just a thought.
Go for it.
Yeah. Why would we do that, bro? I'm not sure.
This isn't a fully mature thought, but for Catholic men, being able to engage your neighbors is important because this is a way for us to imitate Jesus and to be salt and leaven in our communities. Even if we never ultimately like launch this neighbor into being a full-blown missionary disciple, I do think, you know, as we've said many times on the show, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ and his church. And I think that engaging your neighbor is important because it's a practical expression of that reality would be my first swing.
Yeah, I think, you know, in Focus, we use the terms, and I don't know if we made them up or got them from someone else, of win, build, send as this process of evangelization and outreach. And that it makes sense to think strategically, how are you going to take someone through this process to come to know and give their life to Christ and then share him with others? And so that process is called win, build, send. How do we win them over through authentic friendship? How do we build them up in scripture and the teachings of the church? And how do we send them out to do what we just did with them with other people?
Yep.
And that's how we're going to reach souls for Christ.
Because that's how Jesus did it.
That's exactly how he did it. And so, you know, Curtis will often joke that Jesus took his 12 best friends camping for 3 years. And when they were out camping, they did all these things. They probably didn't play poker, which is one of them. Well, actually, they probably cast lots for fun.
But liar's dice.
But that's what he did with them so much was win them, build them, send them. And so when we're looking at how do we want to be well-formed Catholic men, so much of that is evangelization. And who has God already put in your life? Your neighbors.
Yep.
So how do we engage them? How do we win them over
yep.
so that we have the right to be heard when it comes time to invite to a Bible study or to mass or whatever it is, whatever that next step is to introduce them to the person of Christ.
Even having spiritual conversations,
Yes, but how do we can't just walk up and say, hey, let me tell you about the prodigal son here and how it relates to your life.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not on our list. You could do that.
But it might not be effective is what we're saying. You actually have to engage them and win them over first.
And I think the whole idea of make disciples of all nations, at some point, the low-hanging fruit, meaning the guys at your parish that want to be in a Bible study, that number is going to run out at some point. And so how do we engage the people right next to us? And you have two options. You can do nothing, lock the doors, pull down the curtains, and never engage them because they're not faithful Christians or they're not Catholic or something, or you can engage them and try to eventually introduce them to the good news of Christ. So
amen.
I love it. Yeah. It's interesting because it is hard, a random thought. It's hard in big cities to cluster around other faithful Catholic families.
Yep.
And whether or not that's the right thing, we can talk about another time. It's just hard to do it. And so most of us are probably going to find that our neighbor is not a Catholic or is a fallen away Catholic or something. So how do we then engage them? And so the first of the 8 things we thought about was just house projects, especially for the guys. It's easy.
Yep.
And yeah, Brock came over and helped. And I had 2 of my neighbors come over and we're doing some work in our kitchen. So we were just taking down stuff. So y'all came over for 45 minutes, an hour, a couple of the younger guys in my neighborhood. There's a lot of old people too. So it was easy level of engagement. Y'all had a similarity related to adoption in some area in your family. So it was really fun to kind of talk about that and try to make the connection to all 3 of you. And then just to be shoulder to shoulder, you get to know someone when you're doing stuff like that. It's completely non-threatening.
Yep.
Hey, can you help me? Hey, can I, hey, do you need help on that? Let me come help you. And you just, you never know what's going to come up, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it doesn't, you're just spending time earning trust.
Yep.
And you do get to know someone. I don't know if you guys have experience with that.
And I think you hit multiple birds with one stone with this, right? Like, I actually think that doing projects is a very masculine thing. I did not grow up in a family where we did a lot of projects ourselves. So a lot of the, like, actually taking on a project, redoing a bathroom, mm-hmm. making some changes to your kitchen, like, that was not my experience growing up. And actually, it was the experience of my wife. Like, my father-in-law is very handy. And it's been such a cool part about integrating into her family is he's like taught me some of these things. And I actually feel like a better husband and father learning like the ropes of how to take care of your house, how to change things, the toilet paper.
I mean, really,
really basic stuff.
So Brock helped me get the dishwasher out because I was going to give it to someone else because it still worked. We were just mm-hmm. getting a new one. And it was hardwired. Mm-hmm. And the hardwire went all the way down into the basement, right? It wasn't a plug-in.
I've seen that before.
So we're like, is the breaker off? I don't know. You're like, the light's not on in the dishwasher. I was like, oh, it's probably off.
Did Brock get shocked?
No. So I then, after you had all left, I'm like, I'll just get scissors. And I go to cut it. And it goes, pop.
Did you get shocked?
No, I don't know. I've been shocked. Plastic before. Handles or something. But the spark, I was like, adrenaline's going. So I'm like, I'll just turn off all the power.
You did not tell me this.
No, I didn't. One of my other neighbors was still there. And he's like, oh boy. And then I capped it and I forgot to separate the black.
So it kept popping,
So then thankfully the breaker just tripped. And I called my electrician brother-in-law. I was like, I think I need to separate that, right? He's like, Anyway, so it's always good to be careful.
But, but it's cool. Like you're never going to make that mistake again, right? And now like.
I hope not. My neighbor won't either because he was standing right there.
I've been shocked by electrical wire. And so much of projects is just getting in there and giving it a shot. I mean, holy cow.
You don't die.
You can learn how to do anything on YouTube these days. I'd still check YouTube often. How do you do this? And what is this sound from my truck? I just searched that last weekend.
But it's fun because to the point with this, right? Now, like I sent a picture when it was all done to you guys. And I was like, thanks for helping.
So I didn't help, but I got the picture.
That's all right. You were invited, but you couldn't do it. And I don't know why. We won't go there. But the guys are a little more invested in the project too. And so they'll be more excited. And when it's done, I'm sure having them over, it's just a different invite, right?
Yeah.
Then, hey, come see my new kitchen.
I'll come over for drinks.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Yeah. But for them, it's like, hey, come see it because you guys helped.
Because you participated in this. Yeah.
No, I was walking. My family was walking down the street years ago and one of my neighbors was having sprinkler issues. And I was like, hey, do you need a hand with that? And he's like, yeah, actually I do. And so I went and got some shovels and we ended up, locating a leak in his sprinkler system.
Dang.
And it was super fun, and we spent hours together. And anytime you do that, especially like when you see a need meet the need, there's like a bond and an appreciation and a respect that will never go away.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Especially among men. It's like you saw this and you stopped, you gave up the rest of your day. You probably had plans, but you gave up the rest of your day. Brock, you gave up, I don't know how
it's
long
a
you
Saturday
were there.
Too.
A Saturday to go help Thomas. I was out of town, Thomas. I think I was out of town.
I gave you nothing.
We didn't even get to smoke a clove after.
No, we didn't. I forgot. You gotta go.
I did have to go.
Anyways,
I had to come for that. But yeah, I mean, there's it again, when we're talking about getting time with guys, it's not just hours or minutes of time, but it's this relational bond that gets developed, this earning respect, the right to be heard.
Yeah. And what I love about this point, and we probably got to get to the next point, is I think women are more naturally just conversational. Like they can go sit in a coffee shop and stare at each other and like they can bond that way. Men, my experience as a missionary is that men actually need to do something. Like this is why I love some of the other ideas on here. It's like, you got to use your hands. You got to be moving. Otherwise it just feels,
unless it's weird. My wife, I'll stare at her. Don't mind that.
But she won't stare at you back. That's the bad news for you. She actually looks away.
Way,
All right, what's the second one?
Okay, the second one is one that we also do. I know some of these I haven't done, so I want you guys to lead that. But share a meal, which is... It's very interesting because if they're a different worldview and you've got children, I know there's a balancing act, but we have shared lots of meals with neighbors. And sharing a meal, it's biblical, right? There's something profound to it and it's just the human person and sharing that experience of a meal. So I think it's a great one, whether it's coming over, you invite them or you go over there. If that doesn't work for whatever reason, maybe offer to buy the guy lunch, during his lunch break during the week. But I think this is a great one. You definitely get to know someone over a meal. You get to share part of your cultural experiences. We're still going to say grace if it's someone that, so they're going to see our children interact. And so I think again, the art of living, you're showing them that piece of it. Yeah. And the American tendency, and I do this at lunch, so I'm a fault this, but not at home. The tendency is just a meal is something utilitarian. You just got to get mm-hmm. through for your body,
yeah.
but it should be more of an experience.
Yep.
And so when we can live that well, it definitely can be evangelical just in and of yeah. itself. Cause that's something that maybe your neighbor didn't grow up doing that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're struggling to figure out how to do that too. And so it can be just really beautiful just as a witness in and of itself. And then obviously conversation too. But
yeah, I love that.
What I like about this one is it's easy to ask and it's easy for them to say yes to. Hey, do you guys want to come over for dinner sometime? You know, it's easy. Anyone can ask that.
Yep.
And even if you're like, well, I'm a bad cook, you know, me and my wife, we don't cook. Great. Hey, do you guys want to come over for some Chinese,
yeah,
you know, and have the kids watch a movie and we'll hang out and we'll order in Indian or Chinese or whatever it is. You don't have to be like this great chef and great cook
right.
to do this. It's just, hey, do you want to come over for dinner? And then for them, it doesn't feel weird. They're like, yeah, sure. That's easy. Yeah. We'd love to come over for dinner. And it saves them time. They don't have to make dinner that night either. Mm-hmm. So like a Friday or Saturday night, mm-hmm. super easy. But that's an easy one to make and to respond to.
My experience with the meals, Alicia and I, has been brunches. Like mm-hmm. on the weekend, brunches mm-hmm. are super fun because they're not very hard. You mm-hmm. can whip up some eggs and sausage
and pancakes or whatever,
mimosas yeah. and like, mm-hmm. so I would just add that to the, it doesn't have to be dinner.
Yep.
We've had a lot of experience with brunches. So,
great.
So the next one, the third one would be something simple. It's related, something like a nightcap. So mm-hmm. my beautiful wife made homemade marshmallows and passed them out to neighbors like Christmas time. Instead of cookies or something, she's decided to make marshmallows. You ever done that?
No.
It's crazy. They're pretty good. So we bring them over to our one neighbor and he gives in exchange a bottle of Basil Hayden.
You should bring more marshmallows over.
It's like, if this is always the exchange, this is a great thing.
It's a terrible exchange rate.
But I was like, hey, I'm not going to open it until you can come over and drink it with me. And yeah. so just, we haven't done that yet. It's one of the guys that came over and helped, the Texas boy.
Nice.
So, but we're going to do it. It's going to happen. I guarantee it. So just be fun to have a nightcap with him. He can walk over.
For sure.
And just sit there and have a drink.
Yep.
He bought me the whiskey, which is even easier to make that invite.
And this is really easy in the summertime, you know, hey, we want to light a fire. You want to come over, have a cigar or a drink, whatever it is. Even my neighbors, early when we first moved on the block, I just wanted to get to know them. I was like, hey, you guys want to meet in the street after work for a cocktail, you know, quick happy hour. And that's how we ended up really getting to know each other, was just in the street after
work
having a drink.
Until someone got hit by a bus.
No, it's a cul-de-sac. Yeah,
No buses.
I love the idea of a nightcap too, because I mean, I think back to some of the really profound, deep conversations I've had in my life, and many of them were late at night with a drink in hand with men that I respected, and so I think this the nightcap is naturally ordered towards just like a deeper conversation, and I think
yep.
there's something cool about that sometimes I think a lot of guys who are nervous about the idea of evangelizing, it's like, man, well, I'm not super outgoing, this isn't like, I'm not the people guy who's up yeah. on stage, and this is something that you can be very, you don't need to be outgoing to do this.
Yep.
Like this is like, hey, let's go, let's talk about some more important things yep. in life. Like, what are your dreams? Where do you want to be in 5 years? What are the stuff you're struggling with in your family? Yeah. I don't know.
Love it. And I, like you said, it could be a cigar, it could be a pipe. Mm-hmm. It, if the guys aren't into whiskey, but it something like that. Yeah.
And I love yeah. the campfire, because a lot of times guys are like, wait, so we're just going to sit and look at each other and talk? Like, I don't do
just
that.
Just look at the fire.
But you look at the fire, right. and like every dude gets mesmerized by fire, right? Sure. So you don't have to look at the guy, you're like, hey man, how's work going? And you're just staring at the fire and talking, and
yep.
hey, what are your dreams in life? What are some struggles you're going through right now? Love some of those questions.
Yeah.
All right, the next one, I also did this on my block, and it's good. You got to be cautious of it, but it's having a poker night. So I love poker, and I'm pretty serious about poker, which means I have a hard time with guys who don't know poker that well. Okay.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Just being vulnerable.
He was looking right at me.
Yeah. I told
what's the small blind?
We had Thomas over for poker once, and literally after they left, I said, Allie, that's my wife, I am never playing poker with Thomas again.
That was because I lasted longer than you, and so did my wife.
No, because there's rebuys.
You're probably one of those guys that is always in the last few, just like pure blind luck. Like,
he
making
stays
bad
in
decisions.
With like 4-9 not suited.
Totally knew what I was doing, and I didn't rebuy. That's why I just don't rebuy.
Yeah, see, okay. He doesn't. Okay.
Because any this loser can rebuy all night long and be in
that's
the end.
True.
Can I turn off his mic from here? Let me see. Poker night. Here's how you make it fun, though, is the more kind of formal and elaborate you make it, the cooler experience it is.
Yep.
So what I would not do is go buy a piece of crap set of chips and sit around your dining room table. Like, do it right. We got in my garage and I got a poker table and chips. Now, I love poker, so I was excited to make these investments in them. So it was nice chips. It was a cool poker table with the felt and the cup holders, and we're all sitting around it, and I had music going and, you know, fridge stocked a beer, and it was like, grab it, and I ordered pizza halfway through, and it was just a really, really fun night. The way I failed in it is I cared more about poker in that moment than I did about the relationships. And so what I would encourage you guys to do, if you try this out, even if you're serious about poker, let it go. Let it go for this night. Play poker. Try to win, but don't get upset. Don't be a stickler on rules. Help everyone learn, because then they're just going to want to come back and play again sometime.
Yep. That's a great point.
And I stunk at that. Still working through it, obviously.
So he's not going to bite me again, which is fine.
No, that's true. Brock, you can take his place.
Sounds good.
You can happily take it.
Sweet.
It was fun, though. You did do a good job. Like, when I was there, you know, you had the timer.
Yep.
And all the formalities of it. So it was, in that sense, it was fun. It wasn't just some shit. It wasn't just some
actually,
you know, crap
all the
shoot.
Wives cared about it even more than Thomas cared about it. And they actually learned. They cared about learning. And they did a great job.
Yeah. And I've come to a couple of your poker nights, and it's cool to like get to meet some of the guys in your neighborhood who you guys have bonded over this stuff.
Totally.
Like, you've actually become friends through doing something like this, you know, semi-regularly. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that you said it's an experience. You're trying to create an experience for guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in our culture, there's so many, and I just shared, I didn't really learn a lot of handy stuff as a kid. A lot of men today, like, haven't had the opportunity to learn skills from their dad. Mm-hmm. And so if there's guys who are like Thomas, maybe don't know the rules, or they're walking into this situation kind of intimidating. Like,
I knew the rules. I was not
intimidated. He just doesn't care. That's why I'm not going to invite him.
Okay, fair. But for the guys that don't know the rules, like, hey, to your point, Steve, to be patient with them and to give them a fatherly experience of teaching them something and like giving them the freedom to not have it all together. Like, you're touching on some pretty deep stuff with a very low investment night. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. I mean, even the same with like a cigar or whiskey. Some of these guys maybe have never grew up with a dad
or good whiskey, right? They're like, I've had Jim Beam or Jack Daniels.
Jack and Coke, That's great. I love that point.
Nice. The next point is golf, which I'm glad this made the list, because this is one of my invites of choice. Not because I'm good at golf.
That's the thing. You don't have to be, though. That's what makes golf amazing.
You say that, though. When we first started golfing together 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was way better than you.
That is true.
And you have far surpassed me.
Well, I've invited a lot of guys to golf for the sake of evangelization.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He's
but you don't have to be. See, we went golfing and you destroyed me, and I still loved golfing with you, right? Like, there are guys out there who would invite me to golf, and I just say, well, then I would say, look, I'm terrible. Can I come anyways? And you'd have a great time hanging out.
I will say, some of my favorite people to golf with in the city of Denver are guys that are not very good at golf. Yeah. They're just a ton of fun to spend a couple hours with. Okay, but I think golf is a great thing for this list, because if you play 9 holes, you're looking at 2.5 hours.
Yes.
18 holes, four and a half hours. And literally, like we said earlier, that Jesus went camping with, you know, his 12 best friends. The act of golf, you're walking. There's time in between the shots. And like, it gives a very natural way to meander in and out of important things and not important things and funny things and deeper things. And I love conversations on the golf course, because you can learn a lot about a guy and just have a ton of fun.
Yep.
Glad it's on the list.
Have you seen the Brian Regan, the old comedian, has a joke where he's golfing with this buddy, and afterwards he's talking about his conversation with his wife, and she's like, how's Billy doing? He's like, oh, he seems good. He's like, how's he doing after the divorce? He's like, oh, he's fine. He's like, is he dating anyone? And Brian Regan just has that look, and he's like, no. She's like, what'd you talk about? And he's like, he got a new driver. Yeah. You know, like, it's just like, they didn't talk about anything except golf. It's just a funny, but we can be intentional with how we spend our time.
Yeah, that is good. It is possible to spend a round of golf and not talk about anything important.
Yes, I have come home and my wife will be like, how are the guys? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't even remember who I was golfing
What did
with.
You do all afternoon? I don't know. We just played golf.
I golfed, yeah.
All right, what's up next? What do you see there, Brock?
The next on the list is a sporting event.
A sporting event of some kind. I think baseball is a fantastic event.
Just got surpassed by football as America's pastime. Did you see that?
No.
No.
To say, but hey, let's go check a game. And in Denver, Colorado, dare I say there's no better place to catch a day game than Denver, Colorado on a nice summer day.
It's a great venue.
Sunny day. I mean, it is. It's beautiful. And you can do this in most cities, in any city that has a team. And just say, hey, let's go catch a game. Baseball is great because you're not actively cheering the entire time, right?
Yeah.
So much time to sit and to hang out. Hey, the three of us did this for opening day last year.
We did.
About a year ago now, where we wanted to talk about where we wanted to go with this podcast. And so we're like, well, let's go catch a game.
Yep.
And so it was at the game in between pitches, in between innings. We're sitting there talking, we're dreaming. And it was a fantastic time for us.
It's a little cold, if I remember.
It was cold. We were in the shade in April. You can get snow in April.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on baseball. It's hard for me to admit because it is by far my least favorite professional sport, but you're totally right. To go get a couple hours at a game.
Yep.
Everything I just said about golf would apply to baseball. Too. There's a lot of time for conversation.
Where football's hard. Hockey is probably impossible. Like, you're not going to have a conversation at a hockey game. You're just not.
Yeah, but you're going to have so much fun.
So much fun. Don't get me wrong. So if it's a guy that you've already gotten to know really well and you're like, dude, let's go catch a hockey game, like as a memorable moment, yep, do that. If you want to get to know someone, okay, same thing with one of our last episodes was ask a girl out, maybe go to a hockey game. If you want to get to know her, don't take her to a hockey game. That's not a way to get to know her, unless you're going to get drinks before or after. But
I took Alicia to an Avs game last year, and it was awesome.
Well, you've been married.
Did you get to know
her for a long time?
Yes. I also want to mention that, like, it doesn't have to be in person. Like, for a lot of these conversations I've had with guys, it's like, hey, Broncos are on. Like, I met someone new after Mass. It's like, hey, why don't you come over 2:15?
You've done this a lot with golf tournaments.
Yeah.
At your house.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're going to have the golf tournament on. And it's like a 6-hour ordeal. So you're like, hey, from 2 to 4,
yep,
let's do golf. Come on over.
Yeah. I love watching golf. And one pro tip here, if you do host it at your home, even you can do this with hockey or football or any sport really, is mute the TV during the commercials and talk.
Yep.
Like, hey, I don't want to just listen to this car salesman and restaurants. Like,
no, maybe not every commercial, because then they're going to be nervous when you mute it. It gets real.
Yeah, maybe. I typically mute it. That's the nice thing about golf is there aren't a lot of commercials.
That's
same
true.
With hockey,
that is
not a lot of commercials. Soccer, not a lot of commercials. Yeah. Football, you're watching 3 hours of commercials for 20 minutes of game.
That's true. No, that's true. Yeah, let's keep going.
Baseball's also a little cheaper to get a ticket to.
Yeah, baseball's so easier. Practical. Cheaper.
Okay, next item is a random act of kindness. And I put this one on the list.
You're the kind one.
How to engage your neighbor. A small practical thing I've done for my neighbor many times this winter is to just shovel her driveway.
Yeah.
And this, she's not another young man. So, but my neighbor is an older lady who lives alone. And it's like, yeah, she knows that we're Catholic. She knows that we're open to life. And that, yep, you know, we care about things that she doesn't really care about. And so when we have a snowstorm in Denver, I want her to be able to look out and say, like, wow, that was really nice. To have that experience, just like,
it's a moment
they're just,
of
they're
witness
good people.
In a way,
they're
right?
Nice people.
Yeah. So it gives us some validity when we're willing to go outside ourselves to do something like that. And I've done the same, Brock, whether it's someone's sidewalk, if they're out of town, or a lot of times it's like, hey, I closed your garage door. It was 11 at night and obviously you forgot about it, or both cars were gone.
Yep.
In fact, I had a neighbor do that to me, like, hey, dude, both cars were gone and the garage door is open. You want me to close it? And it's like, yes,
please.
It is those little moments that just show we are thinking outside of ourselves.
Yep.
And they can trust you. Well, and it's just, yeah, I've had to rely on my neighbors too to do some stuff, get some stuff at the door, the packages, bring my trash cans in, those kinds of things. So I think that's a great, and just again, you're living charity. You're expressing to them, I care about you. I'm not trying to ignore you. I actually want, in some sense, to be a part of your life, if that makes sense, right? Because I want to serve you. I don't just want to buckle down and ignore you at all cost, which I think is just powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last one here is what I'm calling block party. What I don't mean is this super
food
formal
trucks
invitations, expensive effort. It can be. We've had block parties in our block. We have a 4th of July one, a Halloween one. Those are more formal, where invites get put on every door and everyone comes out and does that thing. But it could also just be like, hey, you know, how about this Saturday? Everyone comes out. It's a beautiful day, maybe the first like sunny day after winter, and get all the kids out on bikes and we just kind of stand around, hang out, throw some bags, have some beers. So it can be super informal, Or it can be very formal as well, where it's like 4th of July, everyone's bringing something, there's invites out, and we actually block off the street.
That's cool.
But I think all of this falls under that. And the reason I bring this up is sometimes it's easy for neighbors. This is typically when we pull neighbors out that we don't see the rest of the year. That we don't see them out and about the rest of the year. But when they see it's a big block party, they stop by. And I think it's easier sometimes for people who are on the outskirts or kind of the fringes to engage in a group activity as opposed to me inviting them to come play poker, to come watch golf. They're like, I'm not sure I know you.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm ready for that kind of commitment.
Yeah, that's a little too intense. But if it's like, hey, everyone's gathering, then they come out, then you get to pull them aside, introduce yourself, have a conversation, go from there.
That's funny. My neighbors, there is one block party every year and it's on Halloween, and we have not gone any of the 3 years. Year one, we had COVID. Year two, we were doing our Halloween thing that we did. Mm-hmm. And then year three, we had a baby like 5 days before Halloween and we didn't want to go outside.
And next year, you're coming back to Thomas's house.
Yeah, absolutely. For our Halloween. Our kids still ask about it, but yeah, I love that block party. And you do make a very good point, is like you're finding a disarming way, something that's very easy for people to say yes to.
And to your point again, Steve, it could be very casual. So if you hear block party and that scares you, it could be as simple, and Steve inferred this, but you're just outside. Your neighbors are also outside. Maybe your kids are riding bikes, you know, in the driveway or something. So just being out with them and making an intentional effort to engage in them is also, I think, under that umbrella. So awesome.
I think the list might be intimidating. I don't feel like you need to do all 8 of these things. Like maybe find one or two that gets you kind of excited, or that you're like, oh, I've never thought about that. That would actually be really fun, and take a swing at it. Again, we're just trying to be ambassadors for our local communities and the people around us so they can see the love of Jesus through us. So
amen.
Thanks. That's it. 8 ways to engage your neighbors. Thanks for listening to the Man Catholic Podcast. We'll catch you next time. God bless.